Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, I have to tell y'all, I'm really excited to be up here this morning. For those of y'all that don't know me or I haven't had a chance to meet y'all yet, my name is Chapman Laxton, and I'm on staff here at Christian Ministries Church. And I'm really, really excited for this word that I have for us this morning. As I was just kind of going over it and praying over it last night, I'm just ready to go. But I want to start this off by asking y'all a question. Have y'all ever found something even when you weren't looking for it? You were trying to find something else, but have you ever found something when you were looking for something else? You know, and now that can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing. And it can be a bad thing, like, you know, whenever you're out looking for morel mushrooms, and instead of finding morel mushrooms, all you find is poison ivy and ticks. You know, like that can be not a good thing. But I'm talking about like a good thing that you find, like, you know, like, burr, my hand is cold. I go stick my hand in my jacket pocket, and boom, there's a $20 bill in there. You know, has that ever happened to anybody in here? That's a good feeling, right? That's Dan calls him a God wink. You know, that's a really good thing to happen whenever you're just not expecting, and all of a sudden, boom, you've got this. Well, that's kind of what happened with this message. And, you know, I don't want to get in too long about how I came to find this out, but I was up late one night just reading on Wikipedia some different things, and I got to reading about elevators. I don't know how extensive maybe anybody in here has ever studied elevators, but I found some pretty cool things. See, I would have thought that elevators were kind of like a new thing, but I don't know if you knew this, but elevators have been around for a long time, like a long, long time. Like, the ancient Romans had ways to, like, hoist animals and people up high places. Like, the elevator's been around for a long time, and I kind of laughed because here I thought, you know, just being allergic to stairs was like a new Western phenomenon. But people for thousands of years have just had this disdain for walking upstairs. It's been around for a long time, and you know, it kind of does my heart glad to know that people have always just kind of just like looked at stairs and just been like, no, I want to get up there, but I don't want to walk up all them stairs, you know. And so I digress. But one thing that I was reading up to a certain amount of time, there was this common problem that all elevators had, and it was in the weakness of their design. See, elevators, and I think you guys will see this is a pretty big problem. Elevators had this problem that they would often break while people were up in the air. And if you can kind of add 1 + 1 = 2, being high up in the air and falling really quickly and hitting the ground is a poor recipe for your health. And so what would happen a lot of times is that the elevators would work for a long time until the rope would break. And then all of a sudden, then the elevator is doing the opposite of what you want it to do. Elevators for a long time were kind of sketchy, you know. And that was a problem. That was a problem, especially for everybody that didn't like stairs. And as we've already talked about, people haven't liked stairs for a long time. Until a gentleman by the name of Elisha Otis came along. Now, again, I don't know how much you guys have ever studied elevators, but Elisha Otis had actually a pretty brilliant idea. And his idea was to make elevators not sketchy and to make them so that people lived if they rode on an elevator. It made the gamble worth the risk, you know. It wasn't like, well, if I walk up those stairs, that could kill me. Or if I get on the elevator, it will literally kill me. And it's just like, what are we going to do here? No, he had a really cool idea. And the first idea that came to him was to use a rope braided together with metal cords that ensured a higher durability on the rope. Tougher rope, harder to break, less likely to die. Great slogan for his elevator. But Elisha Otis didn't stop there. What he did was he invented a system that basically prevented an elevator, whenever the rope snapped, from it falling at all. And it kind of worked like the opposite of a bear trap. Like, when you put pressure on it, the bear trap closes. His, as long as there was pressure on it, the bear trap stayed closed until there wasn't any pressure on it, and then it would open up and it would catch the elevator from falling. This is a pretty genius idea. And so this happened right about the middle of the 1800s. This is about 1846 came up with this idea. Now, if you think about it, that would kind of make elevators pretty cool, right? You know, they weren't safe, and now they are safe. So you would think everybody who would think that an elevator would be a cool idea would be clamoring to buy all these elevators up. But there was a problem. See, the reputation of his idea was preceded by the fact that everybody knew elevators killed people. So he had to find a way to get people to buy them, but he couldn't because nobody believed. Yeah, they thought his theories were cool. They thought his idea was great. Okay, yeah, an elevator doesn't kill people whenever the rope breaks. That sounds really cool, but it's just not worth it. It's just not worth the risk. So after a couple years of failure, Elisha Otis decided to put his display, or excuse me, to display his design in a really cool way. At the 1853 World's Fair in New York, in front of thousands of people, Otis put his elevator company on the map, and he demonstrated the brilliance of his design in a dramatic, death-defying presentation outside the Crystal Palace in New York. And what he did amazed everyone there, even though it was really quite simple. So what he did was he had two pillars built with kind of like an open-boxed elevator thing that he could walk, that he could step inside so everybody could see him. And then what he had happen was he had somebody hoist his elevator all the way up to the top. Now, this has his safety thing on it, or else it wouldn't be very smart of him to do this. Okay, so he gets hoisted all the way up to the top, about 9 stories, 10 stories, and then he hollers out to a guy down there at the bottom, cut the rope. And people stood in awe as whenever they cut that rope, his elevator mechanism sprung into action, and he didn't fall. And while everybody was oohing and aahing, he shouted out to the crowd, "Ladies and gentlemen, don't fear, all is well." And all was well because sales of his elevator boomed. And not only that, his elevator revolutionized the way buildings were constructed. And see, it just started to get all over me as I was reading about this. That'll preach. This morning, I want to talk about this morning, my sermon title is "Cut the Rope." "Cut the Rope" is the name of my sermon title, and it's a simple message, but I think it's important that we get a little bit more context here. It took Otis stepping out and trusting what he knew would happen, and putting his own life on the line for what he believed in order to get other people to recognize the implementations of his invention. It took him providing an example of what exactly his invention would do for someone if they were to fall. See, he went around for a couple years trying to tell people about this. He tried to explain it to people. He tried to, win people over to try. But it wasn't until he put into action what he believed that people bought in to this idea. He had to cut the rope. And see, again, what it did for everyone else was it changed the way buildings were built. Nobody wants to walk upstairs. We've already said that. So buildings were only built to a certain level before his elevator was made. But after his elevator was made, all of a sudden you started getting 20, 30-story buildings. You start thinking about it, and real quickly you start beginning to understand more buildings for more people to live, more people can live there. Bigger buildings, more jobs. If you can build bigger buildings, you can make bigger hospitals. If you can make bigger hospitals, more people can be taken care of. All of a sudden, it started changing the way that the whole landscape of cities were built around this idea because people could safely be hoisted up to the top of buildings without worrying about whether or not they were going to fall down and die. They could trust that there was something in place that would catch them once the rope was cut or if the rope broke. See, before elevators, it was only the poor that were expected to climb up to the top of the buildings. The place that everybody wanted to live was at the bottom of the building because that's easier to walk in. It's easier to get there. But now, where does everyone want, what floor does everybody want? They want the penthouse suite on the top that's got the best view because you're above all the rest of the noise. You're above all the rest of the smells. You're above all the, you've got the best view. You've got more natural light. You've got a better picture of what you can actually see because you can, it changed everything. It changed everything because of what he did. It reinvented the whole game. And see, it began to minister to me that we can affect the world like this if we can start to put our faith into action. If we can start to cut the rope of what's holding us back, we can begin to minister to people beyond what our words say, but with our actions. See, when we put our faith on the line, no pun intended, but when we put our faith on the line and we put ourselves out there, God has a system in place that will catch us. God's not going to let us fall. God's not going to let us be humiliated in front of everyone whenever we're stepping out in faith in what we understand. That's whenever it started to hit me. Cut the rope, cut the rope. We've got to cut the rope. We can show people how easy it is to reach a peaceful life above all the noise and how to rise up, how to have the best view of life through the eyes of God on us and how he can lift us up and set our feet on solid ground. Now, some of you might be thinking, Chapman, you're talking about elevators. Yeah, but I'm also talking about cutting the rope in our life that's keeping us from moving into the place that God would have for us. I'm talking about cutting the rope that's keeping us from elevating to the point where God would have us be. The limitations of our preconceived notions about what we understand that's just beyond the cusp of what we can think about that moves us into faith is where we have to get to. And it's going to take us cutting that rope and trusting in the system to be able to move into a place where we're going to experience the success that God would have for us. Now, I've got three reasons why we need to cut the rope, but before I do that, I want to share some disclaimers here because I think it's important that we understand what this message is truly about, and I want to get that across to you this morning. The first thing is this. We're not shooting from the hip when we cut the rope, okay? We are making this decision because we are trusting God, okay? This isn't something that we're doing haphazardly. This isn't something that whenever we step out in faith to believe in what the Lord is doing, we're not doing this because we don't understand how this operates. We're not testing God, okay? Does everyone understand? This is not testing God. This is believing in what we understand to be true whenever we know that there is a system in place that God wants to protect us, take care of us, and provide for us, that he's not going to let us fall. That's what we're talking about. And if you aren't trusting in God and you're just cutting the rope because you're too impatient and you're like, well, let's see where this goes, or I hope this works, that's going to be a really good way to get yourself hurt. And for you to be in a position where you're going to blame God and paint yourself out to be no example to anyone. See, we cut the rope because we know God won't let us fall. And it's exactly what Elisha Otis did. See, it surprised everyone that whenever they cut the rope, that he didn't fall to his death, but it didn't surprise Elisha. It didn't surprise him whenever that happened. He knew what was going to happen. You get what I'm saying? And that's where we have to be so rock solid in our understanding of what's going to happen, that whenever that rope is cut in our life, we know God's got the next step prepared for us. Amen? So that's the first disclaimer there. The second one is this. The only thing that we can cut the rope with is with the Word of God. Now, be that the literal word of God as we read it or the literal word as we hear it from God to do. We're not doing something outside of what God would want us to do. I'm not cutting something without having a firm understanding of, okay, here is my source as to why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this because I feel like it. I'm not doing this to put on some sensational show for everyone to look at and go, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting. No, I'm doing it with a clear direction, either, like I said, from what I hear from the Lord or from what I read in the Bible and I hear from the Lord. I'm not cutting the rope because my emotions are telling me to. I'm not cutting my rope because my neighbor says, hey, I really think if you'll cut that rope and if you'll put yourself out there, it'll be good. Okay, thanks, but it's not your body that's on the line. It's mine. And you got to understand that there's going to be a lot of people in your life that are going to be giving you directions for your life because it's your life. It's not their life. And they're from a place where they don't have to have any faith in what they're telling you to do. They're not the one who's risking life and limb. It's you. So you can only cut the rope whenever you're the one being led to do it. Does that make sense? Y'all with me this morning? And then I didn't even have this in my notes, but the Lord gave me this just before I came up. Faith operated in ignorance is dangerous. Faith operated in ignorance is dangerous. It's like looking at a backhoe and thinking, scoop goes in dirt. I know all I need to know. Scoop goes in dirt, picks dirt up, drops it. Okay, yes, with your Tonka truck mentality, yes, that's what a backhoe does. But there's more to it than that. There's some more intricacies that are involved in operating heavy machinery. Your faith is like operating heavy machinery. You might want to get to understand it before you try to operate it. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, I've got to go this knowledge before I can start walking in faith. It's really simple. Just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. But if you know that you can't really trust the Lord, if you don't have an understanding of what it means to trust the Lord, don't try to operate your faith now in a way where you're going to get yourself hurt or you're going to get somebody else hurt. So I encourage you this morning, faith operated in ignorance is dangerous because you don't have a full grasp on it, okay? And I don't want to see anybody in here put themselves in a position where, why did that not work, God? Well, okay, you're praying for something that's sin, or you're operating out of anger, or you guys get what I'm saying this morning? And I want to be real clear. I'm not trying to be confusing. I'm not trying to be contrary. I just want to make sure we understand those. Those are just some three little things I want to make sure we get before we talk about cutting the rope this morning. So with that being said, three reasons why we need to cut the rope. The first reason is this. It frees us what's holding us back and places us firmly in the hands of God. It frees us from what's holding us back and places us firmly in the hands of God. Listen, Elisha Otis was in a position where he couldn't go any further. He had all the cards. He was doing everything his way. But the moment that he cut the rope, the moment that he did what he did in front of everyone, what it did was it released him to go on to the next place. Listen, I don't know what it is that might be holding you back this morning. I'm not for sure what that is, but Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and thoughts in Christ Jesus. How do you cut that rope? By prayer and supplication to the Lord and by laying it at his feet. Lay that at his feet. Don't keep it. Don't try to hold on to it. No, we're going to sever that's holding us back. And I'm not going to let that make me be anxious. I'm not going to let this thing weigh me down. I'm not going to let this thing keep me from being elevated to the place that God would have for me. We've got to cut the rope because we have to understand that it's going to put us in a position where we can trust in the Lord. Romans 8, 13 through 14 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. As we begin to put to death the misdeeds of our body, our emotions, the carnal things that try to keep us in a place where we can't go forward, where we can't go higher, where we can't be opened up to a new way of thinking, as we begin to put to death those things, we'll begin to live spiritually. And that's the only place where we as Christians will have fulfillment in what we're trying to do. We can't get to that next place without putting those things to death. But once we do, we'll begin to experience those things and it'll catapult us into the next. The second point is this. The second reason why we need to cut the rope is this. It blesses those around us when we aren't held back by uncertainty. It blesses those around us when we aren't held back by uncertainty. The moment that everyone realized what this could do, people were all about it. And it changed everything. It changed the way that cities were built. It changed the way how buildings were built. It changed the way what people could do, the way life could be lived. It changed the way what people thought was really desirable. And it gave them a new idea about what they could even reach you. Whenever we step out in faith and we aren't held back by uncertainty, people can look at our lives and go, I can have that? Wait a minute. You're telling me I can have that? Whenever you live the life that God's called you to live, it ministers to those around you. And yeah, it's great for you. Yeah, just like it was great for Elisha. His business boomed after that. But more importantly, the lives, we still, how many of y'all hop in an elevator and don't even think about, to this day, his company is still running and has his patent on things. I'm talking about generations can be affected by you choosing to not be held back and to be moved to the place that God would have for you. And you can affect other people around you for generations. Jeremy, you're talking about cutting a rope. How does that? It's like this. Philippians 1:6 says this. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Yeah, the work in you is going to continue being completed so long as you're not allowing yourself to be held back. But that good work that he's working in you is going to affect those around you. The good work that's being completed in you is going to bless those around you. You being in a position where you are filled, where you have understanding, where you are prepared to help those around you, people are going to know that they can come to you and trust what's... Proverbs 11:25-26 says this. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. I'll think about this verse like this. We are blessed when we bless others. We are blessed when we can bless others. You are blessed when you are living your life in such a way that blesses other people. And we can't get to that point whenever we're held back by, well, I don't know, well, this thing, well, this doubt, well, that fear, well, this character trait that I have that makes it hard for me to want to. We've got to quit having those excuses in our life. We've got to move beyond those things. Okay, I get it. For a time, that was hard. For a time, there was a season where you were uncertain. Okay, but now you know. Now you know. It's been made plain to you. It's been shown to you what's held back, and there's a clear answer for what you need to do. You've got to cut the rope. You've got to cut the rope. And there will be blessing poured out on you for that. And the last reason why we need to cut the rope is this. Growth will become inevitable. When you cut the rope, growth will become inevitable. Well, Chapman, what kind of growth are you talking about? You won't be hindered. You won't be, when you are walking out the faith that you believe in, spiritual growth, Your mental health will grow. The way that you're able to bless people will grow. And you will change the landscape of your world when you cut the rope. It will allow other people to take their lives to new heights. Yeah, it's great for you. But it will allow growth in other people's lives when you aren't held back. And it'll take them to new ways of thinking. Psalm 119:105 says, like the dawn, the righteous shine before men. I think about what the dawn represents. It's the beginning of a new day. And like the dawn, the righteous shine before men. Whenever we are operating and shining as we are created to do, as we have been built up to do, we show people the light of a new day. And what happens in light? Things grow. Things grow. Things grow in the light. We all need the sunlight. We all need what the dawn brings. It's a new day. Matthew 5, 15 through 16 says this. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Is there anything more that encapsulates, brings about what we're supposed to do here on this earth? That we're supposed to live in such a way that makes other people see serving God as something worthwhile in doing. Is there anything more that we could do on this earth that could be any more fulfilling than pointing other people to God? I don't think so. Pretty sure that's what it's all about. Pretty sure that's what being a Christian is all about. That's great. The blessings are great. Having a good life's great. Not having to live in frustration is great. Having peace is great. Not having anxiety is great. But let me tell you about leading somebody to the Lord. Man, let me tell you about taking someone who was in darkness and shining on them a new light and a new way of thinking and giving them hope. Breaking somebody out of their prison of pain like what Drew was talking about. What's better than that? There's not, because that's what we've been designed to do. In closing, I want to ask you the same question that I asked God. And this might be something you might already be thinking about. Chapman, you're kind of missing a big detail. What does the rope represent? Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, you tell me. Is it doubt? Is it sin? Is it fear that's keeping you from walking in your faith? Does it represent a decision that needs to be made in order for you to show obedience to God's heart? You search your own heart. What's your rope? What is your rope this morning that's keeping you held back? What's keeping you this morning from experiencing the place that God would have for you today? Is it offense that you're carrying around? Is it your possessions? Is it me time? Is it your busyness that really is an excuse for your laziness? Like, oh, I can't do that because I'm so busy. I've really got to be watching this paint dry over here, so I can't really help with that. Is it bitterness? Are you unfairly blaming someone else for the condition and the state of your life? Look, there's freedom in taking responsibility of the choices that you've made. Because here's what it does. Yeah, it shifts the blame on you, but here's the great thing is that there's freedom now you can address the problem. You can't cut the rope. That's not what's holding you back. But if you can address it this morning, we can cut it out. Do you need to go apologize to someone? Is it a fear of success? And what I mean by that is, do you have a fear of accepting the responsibility of what it will take to replicate you doing something really well? If I do that really well, everybody's going to expect me to do that really good again. And I'm going to have to actually try. I have to take this seriously. Man, if I start living that, if I start claiming I'm a Christian, man, I'm going to have to actually start making a change in my life. Okay, accept that responsibility. Because God's not going to let you fall. God's not going to put you in a position where you're going to plummet to your death. If you step out in faith and an understanding that God has a plan for you, And that's to lift you up. That's to put you on a high place with firm ground underneath your feet. Let's cut that thing out that's holding us back, that's keeping us from realizing our potential. Potential's great, unless it's never fulfilled. If you had a lot of potential as a fourth grader to be the best baseball player in the whole wide world and then never practice, okay, yeah, you're a really good fourth grade baseball player at the age of 18. But you've realized nothing. You have developed no skills. And as an 18-year-old, you can go dominate some fourth grade players. But you never developed the potential that you could have had. That's not what God wants as us as Christians. You know, I kind of cringe sometimes at the, you know, I want to get back to the this little out of mind stuff. As an, okay, I understand the tenderness of that, and but I want to be moved on to deeper things. I understand that this little light of mine is. I want God to move me into a more mature place. That's a great place to start. Everybody's got to start somewhere. But I want to realize my potential, and I want to constantly be searching, God, what is holding me back? What is keeping me from moving into what you would have for me? I want to cut that out. Is it making a decision to suck it up and stay at your job? I don't know. I don't know what your rope is this morning. But what I am sure of and what I can tell you is this. The same words that Mr. Elisha Otis said to the people. Fear not, ladies and gentlemen, all is well. And all will be well with your life.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.